A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
There was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washing, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus told the servers, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then Jesus told them, "Draw some water out and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs in Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory. And his disciples began to believe in him. My friends, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're going to continue tonight what we started last night. We're going to look at how our Mother Mary, the Lady of Mount Carmel, is the model disciple. She's helping us follow Jesus a little bit better. So that's what I want to look about in these two texts. But I got to tell you, I'm a little excited because I love this Cana story, and I want to share it with me. Now, it just so happens that St. Teresa of Avila and St. Ignatius of Loyola are categorized as Spanish mystics in the 16th century. And if you want to win a game of trivia, get ready for this word. They're both cataphatic mystics. Yep. If you try that at a party, you're going to be very impressive. Cataphatic mystics. And what cataphatic mystic means is that they use their whole self to connect with God. They just don't use their mind, or they just don't use their voice. It's their whole body. It's their imagination. They enter into the life of God, and when they go into Scripture, they enter into the very visual scene itself. And so tonight, out of respect for those two great saints and our great feast of the Lady of Mount Carmel, I'm going to invite you to get as comfortable as you can, even though it is warm. I must admit, this southern boy from Atlanta, I don't mind this stuff, but you guys up north might a little bit. Picture. There's a party. We've all been to a party. We've all been to a wedding, and people are having fun. And it starts out with Mary was there, and then it works in, and so was Jesus and the disciples. But it starts out with Mary. Mary must have been the one that was invited. And Jesus and the disciples came through the back door, maybe. And everything's going really well, but Mary, very much like a mom, is paying attention. She's looking around. She's seeing if anything's falling through the cracks, if anything isn't working. And she notices the wine is running out. Now, it's not just that they'll be without wine, but back in this time, in this day, if you ran out of the wine, it was a great sign of shame. It wasn't just that, oh, we're going to have water. It was like you didn't prepare, and you're not celebrating this feast as well as you should, and there would have been ridicule. Now, Mary sees what's going on, and Mary says, "I got to do something." So she goes to her son, and she says to her son, "Jesus, they don't have any wine." Now, all you moms out there who have dealt with children, you know what the reaction of the child is going to be. "Mom, don't worry about it." Right? He tries to put it off. "It's not my time. Don't worry about it." And like moms, even today, she didn't turn around and argue with them. By the way, she's the only one that can ignore him. We can't. And she says to the servants, to the waiters, do whatever he tells you. Now you know, because we read the story, they looked at her, they went over to him. He did not rebut them. He didn't say, oh mom, you shouldn't have done it. He just did what Mary asked him to do. And this is his first miracle, changing water into wine. So let's take a second. You heard it in the first reading when it ended. Everything the Lord has said, we will do. Mary says, if you're going to be a model disciple, the first thing we have to do, right? The first thing is do whatever Jesus tells us to do. That's what a model disciple does. We listen to the call of Jesus. We listen to the promptings of the Spirit. We listen to the movements of God. Now, I work at Boston College, and when I tell the students to listen to God, this is what they say back to me. I can't hear them. I talk to them. I ask them things. You tell me he's going to show up. I never hear him. Now, that could be true for us now and then, but I say right back to them, you're not listening well enough. Quiet down. Listen again. Now, we'll go through this several more times, of course. They'll come up and they'll tell me, I didn't hear him. And so then I'll start to say, did you notice anything going on in your life, like when you were feeling lonely or sad or down, and somebody called you out of the blue and picked you up? Who was that? And they'll name their friend. That was Sally or Bob. And I'll say, maybe that's true, but it was also Jesus. Oh, really? Or when something happens in your life that you don't expect, it gives you joy or gives you hope. Or something happens in your life that makes you think, am I going in the right direction? Am I doing the right thing? And you have to pause and kind of reevaluate what you're supposed to do. Don't think it's just a random thought. It is our God, through the person of Jesus, trying to poke you and say, I love you first, and this is what I'm going to ask you to do. So a model disciple, first and foremost, is one who does whatever Jesus tells us to do. That's the first requirement. The second requirement is when we proclaim that we are this follower of Jesus and that we love him and that he loves us, we need to start to tell people, you've got to listen to God too. And you try exactly what I do with our students. When people say, he doesn't hear me or he doesn't talk back, say, yes, he does. Listen to your heart. Listen to the movements. Have you ever had the experience where you just said, I just can't do it anymore? And yet something inside you says, I have to, and you get up and you do it? I suggest to you, that's how close and intimate God is with you. And God keeps moving us along. Even when we're tired and lazy and we don't want to do it. So that's the first requirement. Do whatever he tells you. Second requirement of a disciple, pay attention. If you're really going to listen for him and to him, you've got to pay attention to how you're feeling. You've got to pay attention to what's going around you. That's the only way you start to find God in all things. It's the way you start to feel the movement of God in your life and your family and all around you. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget it. When my father was in the hospital, he was dying, and my mother had died before him, and she was a nurse. They had to do this weird procedure on him, and he was sitting there, and he was scared because he had dementia. And I'm looking, and I said out loud, I probably looked like I was crazy. I said out loud, Mom, where are you? I was talking to my mom, not Mary. I go, Mom, where are you? You're a nurse. You should be here to help him. And then I honestly did this. I said, Mary, you better take over. Jesus, where are you? And I'm looking you right in the eye, and I am not exaggerating. All of a sudden, this older nurse comes out of nowhere. I don't know where she came from. The people on the floor didn't know who she was, where she came from. And she starts caressing my dad's face. She even kissed him. And she says, "Sweetheart, I'm going to take care of you." And there was a younger doctor there. And she looked right at the younger doctor and she said, "Get out of here. You don't know what you're doing. I'll take over." And I thought, my God, this is my mom. Jesus is always around. Mary is always looking to see what we need. You just have to ask, and then you gotta look. And I have every confidence as I stand before you tonight, every confidence that if you ask and if you look, you will see something. Why? Because you're the apple of God's eye. Why? Because you're made in the image and likeness of God. Why? Because God loves you. He came that you might have joy and have it in the full and in the tough times to support you and to get you through. So if you're going to be a model disciple, you need to be attentive to what's going around you. But start to pay attention and be attentive to your friends and your family and all the people around you. Where do they need help? Pray for them. Offer your them, because we are disciples following the model. But here's the, here it is, and then I promise I'll sit down because I don't want to get too wet from sweat. Here's this line in the gospel that nobody pays attention to, and I really don't know why. There's only a few scripture scholars I know that even mention this. You notice how the gospel ended? And his disciples, the 12, the ones that were sent out, the ones that were supposed to proclaim the good news, the disciples, and his disciples began to believe in him. That, yes, we talked about last night, Mary having the ability in her fear and her confusion to say yes to God. She had faith that God wouldn't let her down, that God wouldn't drop her. She said yes. And sure enough, God said, "It will be hard, Mary, and there'll be pain to come. We're going to get to there tomorrow." But her yes was a statement of faith. It was her faith in her son. It was her faith in her son who brought him over and said, "They have no wine." Remember what he said? "Doesn't make any difference, Mom. It's not my concern." And she just went and she said, "Do whatever. Do whatever he tells you." It was her faith in her son. And having the disciples see what that faith in her son produced, the very first miracle, that she became the mother of the disciples because they came to faith. They came to believe. You want to be a disciple? Exercise your faith and show it to your kids, to your grandkids, to your neighbors and people around you. Be convicted in it. And people will start to say, "You have faith." It will lead them to faith. You believe in this Jesus, they'll be open to this Jesus. "You are talking to this Mary, and I see that you got through difficult times." They'll start to believe. Mary is our mother. Mary is our mother of faith because she believed in him and she showed it. And as it says in the gospel, the disciples began to believe. They were born out of faith. I stand before you today because I had great people of faith in my life and I saw it work and I believed in it, so I followed it. And I got a feeling on a 90-degree night on a Saturday in July, one of the reasons you're here is you had great people of faith that you saw and you believe in it. And what the world needs now more than anything is folks like us who believe in faith, who live out of hope, share love. I'm going to end with this. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Here's how it works. Let God love you, let Jesus love you, and fall in love with Jesus. Let Mary love you, and fall in love with Mary. What does that lead to? Faith. Think about it. When you fell in love, when you became in love, when you love somebody, you start to have faith in them. And that faith, it leads to hope. least the hope, because you know you're not alone. You know you have somebody there having your back. You know that the love will win the day. My friends, I'm going to end this every way until you don't see me again. You are deeply loved. Soak it in from this God who loves you. And let that produce the faith to believe in what he says will come true. And therefore, have the hope to endure whatever this world has to give us. Because we know God is faithful.